Beautiful day, beautiful singing. What an honor it is to be here before our God and His presence with God's people. We're just so very grateful for this opportunity, and we want to take the time again to welcome our visitors. We're so thankful that you're here. We want you to feel comfortable. We want you to know that it is an encouragement to us that you made that decision to be here, and I pray that we are an encouragement to you. And if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask. And just a couple more things to add to what Brother Terry was filling us in on for next week. I'm so very thankful that the elders were very thoughtful in this. I am with them. I absolutely agree that it will strengthen our perspective concerning worship. It'll help us worship more thoughtfully, and I'm just grateful for them that their willingness to consider these things and pray about it and think about it and implement that, and so let's be thankful for them and their good and wonderful leadership that they have for this congregation. Also, again, don't forget to get out there in the foyer that list of events, the calendar events. Make sure you grab one of those. Really look where you can participate, be a part in. There's a lot coming up, a lot for you to be a part of as a member of this congregation. So grab one of those, write down what you're going to be a part of, and then do it. Right? Do it. And also, let's be mindful of all of those who can't be here this morning. Many that are sick. We've got folks traveling, a good bunch, I think, on vacation, traveling nonetheless. But let's be mindful of them and pray that they make it back to us soon. All right, so this morning we are continuing in our sermon series. Remember our theme for the year, Vessels of Honor. And we need to understand that we will not be vessels of honor, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21, if we don't know what worship is and if we're not worshiping correctly. Right? We can't worship right if we're not vessels of honor. We won't be vessels of honor if we don't know what we ought to know about worship. And so we've been looking at that, and I want us to be reminded of some things here in this sermon series that we've been talking about. Right? Number one, Hebrews 12, verse 28. Right? God has a standard of what's acceptable to Him concerning our worship. And he says it needs to be in reverence and godly fear, right? And this is a theme that we see throughout the Bible, all the way back to the beginning, right? After those introductions in our Bible in Genesis, right? Already in chapter 4 of Genesis, let's look at a living example of what's acceptable and not acceptable and how you approach me in worship. And then that theme is carried out through the remainder of Scripture. It matters to God. He decides what is acceptable, right? He sets that standard of truth. And our God is not partial. And what a wonderful blessing that is. And also what we've learned concerning worship, it must be done in spirit and in truth. We've learned that our God is a consuming fire. And he's the one that sets those standards. We've learned that worship is not entertainment. We've looked at that in past lessons, right? You are not here to be entertained. This is not about you. This is about us coming before Isaiah 6:1, the one who's on his throne, high and lifted up. This is not a time for you to come and be entertained. It's not a time to have the mindset of, well, you better make me feel entertained. I better have some fun. Or I tell you what, I'm just not coming back next week. I'm going to look for somewhere where I had a lot of fun and I was entertained. And they had the best coffee in the neighborhood, and I'll keep going back for that. Listen, that's not what this is about. We've talked about how our God is not a beggar. Right? He's not on the side of the road with a tin can hoping to get the spare change of your attention and of your worship. And I cannot worship wrong and be accepted as a true worshiper of God. So we've looked at all of that, and we began to talk about the five avenues of worship. Brother Terry highlighted that, and we're looking at the God-approved, God-accepted, God-commanded avenues of worship. And let's remember be reminded or learn if we don't know what worship is. Worship is getting praise and adoration from our hearts to God in the manner that he prescribes. Right? You lived in such a way this past week, you're celebrating forgiveness like David in 2 Samuel 22. You're so thankful for that salvation. You're so thankful for that blood sacrifice of Jesus. You can't help but to gather with the brethren and offer that praise and that adoration to God. Your cup is overflowing. That's worship. Right? And how do we get that worship to God, that praise and that adoration? Well, the Bible gives us five avenues. Right? We've talked about preaching and prayer and singing this morning. We're going to talk about giving. So let's do that this morning. You know, a story is told about a preacher talking to a new convert. And he says, hey, Joe, if you had 100 cows, would you give half of those cows to the work of the Lord, to the work of the church? He said, absolutely. I'd give 50 to the work of the church, not a problem. He said, okay, Joe, if you had 50 sheep, would you give half of those sheep to the work of the church, to the Lord? He said, absolutely, without a doubt. And then the preacher asked him this. He said, hey, Joe, if you had 2 pigs, would you give one of them to the work of the church? And Joe said, hey, you know, that's not fair. You know why I got 2 pigs. Right? You see how the mindset changed there in that little story? And I think that's an interesting way to look at this. You know, when we think about our relationship with God, and we think about being a vessel of honor. You know, in the years that I've been preaching, you know, I've never had someone come up to me, other than a church leader, I've never had someone come up to me and say, hey, you know, in your next series of lessons, would you please do a lesson on giving, on stewardship? Right? No one's ever done that. And I think that is because we're all guilty somehow in certain ways of that part of our spiritual life not being where it should be, right? It's an area for spiritual maturity, right? And we recognize that in ourselves, right? We haven't completely turned that over to God, the giving aspect. We haven't completely turned that over to God. So, you know, it's one of those things that for as a preacher, I haven't got many people come and say, hey, please do a lesson on giving. Right? And I think sometimes when we do have a lesson on giving, you know, we kind of cringe a little bit. It makes us a little bit uncomfortable. We start to think, you know, well, we don't want visitors to think we're money hungry and that's what we're all about, focusing on finances instead of being faithful. You know, we don't want them to think that. Or maybe we might think, well, you know, well, how much do you want now, preacher, right? And I don't think that is a healthy way to look at this. You know, what we need to understand is giving is a part of our worship, right? It's part of our worship to God. As a matter of fact, the Bible clearly teaches us, right, Acts 17 and verse 25, you know, God doesn't need anything from us. He doesn't need anything from human hands. Acts 17 and verse 25. God's going to not stop being God if we don't give what we ought to give. Right now, a congregation might cease to exist, but God's not going to cease to exist. Right? So let's think about that. Let's be challenged by the Word of God this morning. And, you know, and think about how we look at this. We need to view this. With a very relationship with God. You know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, 1 out of 6 verses has to do with money, possession, givings, and our mindset toward that. 1 out of 6 verses. You think it matters? Absolutely it does. And it's been said, where your pleasure is, there your treasure is. And where your treasure is, there your heart is. And where your heart is, there is your happiness. See, this has everything to do with our giving. The fact of the matter is, giving is worship, worship is giving, and if we don't love the object of our worship, then giving is going to be very difficult. Right? You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. All right, so we're thinking about a very relationship with God this morning in this topic here. It's part of worship. It's God commanded. Absolutely it is. We give to the object of our worship. Consider this real quick. You know, as you consider giving and worship, Galatians 2:20 speaks of dying to self and living for Christ. And you see, giving of our money, our time, and our energy to the Lord is one of the ways that we die to self. Right? We're dying to self through self-sacrifice. Because our human side, what we want to do is we want to keep our money, our time, our energy, and our focus, right? That carnal side of us, we want to keep all of that for personal reasons, selfish reasons. And I love this statement here by J.W. McGarvey. He says, watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. And watch your character, they become your future destination. Right? So giving and stewardship is part of your thoughts and your words and your actions and your habit and your character. Therefore, it is tied together with your future destination. Right? Giving is so much more, as we often pray for the work of the church, right? If giving was only for the work of the church, we might become guilty of this mindset of, well, the lights are on, preacher got paid, church doesn't need any more money, right? They don't need any more money. And, you know, that approach lacks spiritual vision. Listen, you'll never be a vessel of honor with that view, right? That's not what Scripture teaches. Right? We need to understand that we give to God, not to the church. And there is a big difference in that. And, you know, when we speak about giving, we could have talked about giving from so many different aspects from the Bible. We could have talked about from 2 Corinthians 9, right? Giving cheerfully, part of our scripture reading earlier. Not giving grudgingly. We could talk about it's more blessed to give than to receive. Giving liberally, we could answer the question, do Christians tithe? And the short answer is no, of course. Right? We could look back at the Old Testament parallels to giving. How it's about giving the your very best, right? The first fruits, not about what's left over. You know, giving in the Old Testament was an actual sacrifice. It was meant to hurt a little bit to give. You know, we could have talked about the five main types of sacrificial giving in the Old Testament. Right? We could have talked about any of that and when we're looking at this aspect of our worship this morning. But what I want to do in the remaining time that we have this morning, I want to look at an example from real Christians. I want us to think about how they gave. To explain giving, I want us to look at this phrase here we're going to read, how they gave themselves first to God. Or stated differently, dying to self. I want us to think about it in those terms. And when we truly understand this, if you do want to open your Bible to 2 Corinthians 8, then the giving of our means properly, it's going to be done in a godly manner. Then we're going to be vessels of honor. But first here, real quick, do you remember what's weird is I was thinking about it today, me and the family will have been here 3 years and a month, right? Just went by like that. And so I'm wanting to say it was about almost 3 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago, did a lesson on stewardship. Do you remember this illustration? I want this in our mind before we continue here. Remember, if I'm not mistaken, I put a map of Israel on the screen, a modern map, and up north you got the Sea of Galilee. You remember that? And then you got the River Jordan going all the way down to the Dead Sea. You remember this illustration? Well, then I showed you pictures around the Sea of Galilee, and it's lush and it's green, and it gives life, and there's farms all around it, and there's, you know, still fishing there today. Right? You can go there and you can be sustained by what the Sea of Galilee provides, even today. And then you follow the River Jordan all the way down to the Dead Sea. No life. Right? It's called the Dead Sea, right? No life in the water. There's no life outside of the water. Now, what's the difference? You see, the Sea of Galilee gets all of its life from the surrounding mountains. And the Sea of Galilee gives up some of what it gets. And therefore, it can sustain life and give. But you get all the way down to the Dead Sea, it keeps everything that it gets. And therefore, it's dead. Well, what a wonderful illustration. You know, is that the way God planned it to teach us something? I don't know. I'd like to think so. Now, I got another mental exercise I want you to do here before we read this text in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So let's think about giving ourselves first to God here. Now, what I want you to do here is I want you to think about the very lowest point in your life. Right? And maybe you've had several. Loss of a loved one, financial issues, family problems, whatever it is. You know, maybe two different things going on. I want you to think about the very lowest point in your life, what you're going through, and maybe you're going through that right now. Right? Maybe you're going through that low point right now. So you got that in your mind, right? We've all been there. We all have it. Maybe it's happened several times in your life, right? But the worst, I want you to think about the worst. You got it? You're thinking about your low point right now? All right. I want you to hang on to that. I want you to really think about that, whether it's emotional, financial, spiritual, right? You got that in your mind right now. Now I want to ask you a series of questions here before we read the text. So during that low point in your life that's going through your mind right now, what was your relationship with God like during that time? At that lowest point in life, right? What was your prayer life like during that point in your life? What was your study of God's word like during that difficult time? How was your giving during that low point in your life? Right? Not just money, but even volunteering your time, doing things for others. Basically, what was your spiritual life like during that low point? Now, with that fresh in your mind, do a little reading with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, let's begin at verse 1. So Paul opens this way, talking to the church at Corinth. He says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy in their deep poverty abounded in riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. So what's going on here? All right, so Paul, talking to the church of Corinth, of course, he says, let me tell you about the brethren over here in Macedonia. They were in such deep poverty. They were in a bad situation. And I told those brethren at Macedonia how bad the brethren over in Judea, Jerusalem, had it. And let me tell you, the brethren in Macedonia, in their deep poverty, in the lowest point in their life, were so moved with compassion about the brethren in Judea that they gave. They gave themselves first to God. Please, we don't have much, but take what we have. And so Paul was using them as an example to the church of Corinth on how to give yourself first to God. And it just blew Paul's mind how much the brethren of Macedonia were just willing to give. What a wonderful, wonderful, powerful example, right? These folks dealing with a time of severe trial and personal extreme poverty we don't even begin to understand. right? Suffering in conditions that we can't even begin to fathom. And it shocked Paul here, and he defines it in verse 5 by saying, they first gave themselves to God and then to us according to the will of God. So the definition given to these people who first gave themselves first to God was what? Was severe trial, extreme poverty, yet they first gave themselves first to God. You know, and they had this mindset of like, hey, we want to help. And Paul in verse 2, right, in their great ordeal, their extreme poverty, in this horrible low point in their life, Paul basically said, I was shocked. You know, that's not what I expected. That's not what you expect of people. You know, unfortunately, many people at the low points in their life, what do they normally do? They normally withdraw from God and his people. Right? They pray less. They study less. They give less. Right? And they'll probably even blame God for their circumstances many times. Right? During that low point, many times what happens is, you know, we focus inward instead of upward and outward. But not these brethren. What a great example. Right? In terrible circumstances. Listen, one of the things that we're learning here is giving is not about how much you have. It's not about tithing. It's not about missions. Right? It's not about helping the hurting in Haiti or somewhere. It's not about the building. It's not about some program. It's not about the preacher's salary. Giving isn't any of those things. Giving is an expression of thanks to God. Right? It's about sacrifice. It's about viewing my giving the same way I view every other aspect of my spiritual life. I'm going to give what I ought to give when I lived the previous week in the right way, and I recognize the overflowing of blessings, even in extreme poverty and difficult situations. Right? I'm saved. Like David's celebration in 2 Samuel 22. I'm saved. Although my filthy, sinful past, I get to be saved. You know, and I get to worship God and gather before him. I tell you what, it's not an issue for me to give because I love the object of my giving. You see, now it's so much more than just giving for the work of the church. A wise man once stated, there are three conversions necessary for a man to be pleasing to God. The conversion of the heart, the mind, and the purse. Of these three, it may well be that we moderns find the conversion of the purse the most difficult. And he goes on to say, a religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. When our religion becomes a luxury and not a necessity, something is broken. Something is absolutely broken. And I hope we understand that. And so as we consider that, you know, some questions arise. Right? Can I really be thankful for what God has given me? And then can I give back accordingly? You know, I thank God that I've never been asked to put a price on my salvation. Right? To somehow estimate its net worth. But really, that's the question, isn't it? You know, I've never been asked, had to answer, you know, how much is heaven worth to me? But really, that's the question, isn't it? And don't, I'm not saying in any way even close that there's somehow we can buy our way into heaven. That is not possible. You cannot do enough good gifts, give so much that God has to let you in that you're missing the whole point. But at the same time, that's the question, isn't it? And if my answer is anything less than 100% of every material blessing that I have, then it's the wrong answer. It's not money or offering. It's not some percentage of my paycheck. It's all about giving myself to God, giving myself first to God. It's about dying to self. Look at verse 1 of our text here. Right, so what was this grace that God gave to the Macedonians that Paul's highlighting to the church of Corinth? The answer is it was God's action in their lives. Now, here's the part we struggle with. Right? When we read they were under great trial, extreme poverty, And I'm not sure that most of us would classify that as God's grace being extended. Well, that's some kind of punishment, right? But God's grace is being extended to them to teach. Remember Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, three times, Lord, remove this thorn from my side, and the Lord answered, my grace is sufficient for you. That's the answer, right? God doesn't deliver us from the trials, but he gives us the grace and the power sufficient to make it through the trials. And we learn so much in that if we have the right mindset here. Right? God allowed these people to learn from their trials. That was this grace extended. That was the benefit that they received. And none of this was about money. Right? It had everything to do with their relationship with God. You see, they understood worship. They understood the meaning. They understood what was expected of the worshiper. Right? They understood the object of their worship. Right? The Lord on his throne, high and lifted up. They understood that. And in that learning, they had a desire to share what little they had. Right? Because they knew that God's gift of salvation was worth far more than any material blessing they had. Right? Another point is, they didn't let personal circumstances keep them from doing something. Right? You know, they may not have given the largest gift in that ministry of helping the brethren in Judea, right? But they didn't sit back and do nothing. They took action concerning their faith. Now, the conclusion is found here in verse 5. We're going to begin to wind down in a couple minutes here. And let God challenge you in this, right? Allow the Word of God to challenge you, right? And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God, right? Are you giving first to God? Right? And if you have the opportunity this afternoon, I want you to go and read verses 8 through 15. Right? And we see a test here, and Paul wanted to test their sincerity by comparing it with the eagerness of others. Right? And Paul's example was Jesus in verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Right? How much did Jesus give? He gave it all. We thank God for that. Again, this is not, nor has it ever been, about money. Yes, part of our giving is money. But it's so much more than that. Let's not lose sight of that, right? You know, the Lord, he never gave us an amount, a percentage to give. A lot of people say, well, in the Old Testament, you know, you had tithing, 10%. Listen, if you put it all together and do the math, it was actually more than 19%, right? But we don't tithe in the New Testament, right? That's not the standard we're called. This is so much more than the giving of money concerning that in worship, right? What he cares about, and what we're learning here from the text, is that you give yourself first to him and then to others. What is that? That's the two greatest commandments, isn't it? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second's like it on the first, love your neighbors yourself. And this is going to be seen in the giving of, yes, money, but also time and energy and focus and clothing the naked and feeding the hungry and visiting the widows, right? That's giving, right? That's that spiritual sacrifice Paul talks about in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Verse 12 here, let's go ahead and finish up. For if there is first a willing mind, see, there it is. It is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. Can you see the difference? The test of giving myself first to God, it's not seen in dollars alone. Right? It says that we are to give according to what we have, not according to what we don't have. And this, the challenge given to all of us has always been to give myself first to God. That's the challenge. to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all that other stuff, don't worry about it, right? It's going to be added unto you. If not in this life, then definitely in the next. A little bit earlier, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about where are you storing up your treasures? Right? On earth, verses 19 and 20. Why? Right? Someone's going to steal it, take it, it's going to wear out, it's going to go away. But if you put your treasures in heaven, now that's a different story. So let's think about that this morning as we finish up here and consider what it is that God is calling us concerning. Listen, if our offering doesn't mean anything to us, then it means nothing to God. And so this morning, let me tell you something you don't want to miss out on, and that's the salvation of Jesus Christ. Right? Give yourself first to God, and then everything else will be added unto you. And again here, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Right? And I want you to think about the great love that our God has for us and how he proved that love through the sacrifice of Jesus, that blood offering that you have an opportunity to partake in. So if you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel, you have that opportunity. We're going to sing a song of encouragement in a moment. If you've never put on Christ in baptism with a response of faith, let's take care of that, or let's sit down and study that more. That's the most important thing that you can answer right now. If you've done that, but you've fallen away or you need to be reconciled to God, let's take care of that. Let's restore you to God. If that's something you want to do at this point here in our assembly, we can pray for you, pray with you, whatever it is that you might need. If you have any spiritual need, let somebody know, please, as we stand, as we sing.